Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out a bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad bread, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York City. Ooh. And at the AT&T Stadium in Dallas, Texas, via Arlington. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do better. Oh, my friend, come around, thought to fly to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's tattered, my brains are splattered, all over Manhattan, should do better, shake out, ooh. Are you with us tonight from Dallas, Tejas? Oh, a little wolf mother for you. We want to hear from you tonight. What's up, Dallas? Coast to coast, top to bottom, east to west, we're everywhere. From Jerry's World, with your boy Mafia. Carver High and Bocce Ball, back in New York. Go with us. How are you feeling? All right, yeah, yo. Feel it. I know you like it, baby. All right, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. So here we are at the Cowboys AT&T Stadium in Arlington. And we're here for Spence Garcia, who will be the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Two undefeated fighters, Spence 24-0, the IBF welterweight champ, 39-0, Mikey Garcia, the lightweight champ, going up two weights to fight the great Errol Spence, who many believe is maybe the best fighter in the world. A lot of people think he is. Others would lay claim to that title as well. Bigger, badder men. But Spence is a badass. So is Mikey. Mafia, what would you say if I told you again? It's like when we saw Broner, when I interviewed him and I was 2 feet taller than him. What did you think when you saw me standing next to Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence today?
Well, obviously, when you're talking to guys at this weight class, just their natural size can be a lot smaller than you. But the thing is, you forget when you stand up next to them that those guys could still do a lot of damage to you. We were talking about that at dinner, that you stand next to me like, oh, that guy's not that tough. That guy's tiny. But, you know, a couple shots to the body drops that head down, and then all of a sudden he's taking you out with that hook, and you're thinking other things.
You're done. But, I mean, they are both little dudes. I mean, next to me and you, my God.
Well, yeah, next to us they are, but they still pack a whole wallop, and it's going to be an exciting fight Saturday. I can't wait to see it. These guys are going to throw. None of these guys, you know, are guys that dance and try to win on points. These are guys that go in.
You mean like Floyd?
Like Floyd and like plenty of others. That's the name of the game in boxing for a lot of these guys. It's just outlast the other guy and score enough points to win. These guys are not those guys. These are not undefeated fighters because they like to dance.
I never want to leave it in the hands of the judges in boxing. It's corrupt.
You can't take that
risk. Or in the UFC.
And these guys don't. They won't do that. These guys are going to throw. Now, I don't think it's going to end. I think it's going to be a decision because these guys are so good. But both these guys are going to throw everything they have, and it's going to be so exciting to watch.
It really is. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So here's what we got for you tonight. Rick Harrow will join us this very hour at 40 past, and then at 11:10 Eastern, 10:10 Central, where we are in Dallas, Errol Spence will be on the bench, the welterweight champ. And then at midnight in the Billy Idol Hour of Love, 12:04 Eastern, 11:04 Dallas time, Boom Boom Mancini for Carver High. He did say to me, make sure you track down Boom Boom Mancini, one of his all-time favorites. So we got Boom Boom on the show tonight, Mafia. How do you like them apples?
I like it a lot, man. That guy, I've never met him before. You know, with all these things that we've done for boxing, we haven't been around Boom Boom, I don't think, at least not since I've been with you. And that guy is a whole lot of personality. He's a great guy. He was so warm and welcoming and so excited to talk to you. No, you thought you were going to have fun talking to him. He was just excited to talk to you.
It was pretty cool. Jay Berman on updates. I told you, Carver High and Bocce Ball back in New York running the show. We're here. You got to give me some kind of you got to back me up on this here. We're in this just gigantic stadium. And I mean to tell you, this place is like nothing I've ever seen in my life for a stadium. I mean, this is... I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Mercedes in Atlanta is as nice as this, but I have never seen anything like this stadium. This is a veritable spaceship. It is another world. It is literally a country. It is so huge.
It is, and you know they talk about that. I think in Arizona, right? They talk about the spaceship in the desert when it's lit up. But it's not a desert here. There's plenty of stuff around here. We got the Six Flags on both. You know, two different Six Flags parks. We got the baseball park at Arlington. But when you pull up and you're driving on the highway here, and when we're driving here at night, it's different from when we're driving during the day to come here and do some Radio Row interviews. When we're driving here to do the show, and it's starting to get dark and the sun's going down, you see this place lit up. It is incredible. It's like a spaceship in the middle of nowhere.
It really is. Now, we're inside of it now.
It's huge. It's enormous. It's insane.
But it's creepy.
Oh, of course. Any giant place like this where there is about five people in the whole building, it's going to feel creepy because it's so silent and... It's not completely dark. They got the lights lit up around here. They even got the screen lit up over where the ring is going to be on Saturday night. But still, that is so empty and quiet. It's very eerie.
Well, I mean, have you ever seen? There'll be about 55,000 people for this fight here at AT&T. Could you even believe how small that ring looks in the middle of that football field?
It looks like it's nothing. Because we do all the time where we go to places like the MGM Grand Garden Arena where you get like 15,000. We've been to the Garden where you get, you know, 20 to 30,000 for a fight like that. That you have this ring in the middle of this giant football field, which isn't even there. The football field's gone, so they can put all these seats down. It's just incredible, especially because you have the ridiculous giant screen they have over the field. Then they have another, like, regular size screen over top that you have at, like, a normal arena like we would at the MGM Garden Arena over top of the ring. So it's like... ridiculously giant screen to huge screen to little ring. It's like a little funnel going all the way down to the ground.
I mean, it is. It's really weird. There's 5 million TVs in here, and not one of them works because there's no one here, right? So we're just in this, like, I don't know. What are we in, like the concourse?
We're in like one of the clubs, you know, where you have like the fancy meals and stuff.
Right,
and
I think we're in the Lincoln Club right now.
Yeah, that is where we are. So it's one of those fancy places you go where you pay a little extra. You get the nice meal, and then you go out on the veranda and watch the game instead of just sitting in the regular seats.
All right, 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Obviously, there's tons of games going on. We're at a little bit of a strong-arm situation here. We don't have access to, you know, we're not watching the games, so I can't see anything. I'm completely in the dark when it comes to what's happened in these games, other than, you know, looking at what's happened and having an opinion about it, you know, a reaction to what's happened in the college basketball today, because there's been a ton of conference games and everything, but it's not like we've really been able to see a whole lot of it. I saw some, you know, highlights of games and the like. I saw the end of, I mean, we were watching West Virginia do it to Texas Tech, And then I was watching Florida State today win in overtime over Virginia Tech. I did watch that.
Can you believe the shot that kid hit in overtime, falling away towards the baseline? It's not like he was some high scorer for the game. He only had 10 points the whole game, but he hit that big shot that I couldn't believe he nailed.
So, you mean Florida State?
Yeah.
That's what won the game a bomb?
Like a fadeaway on the baseline as he was falling out of bounds, essentially. Bounced around a few times, fell through home for the win.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right, so Marquette beat St. John's in the Big East. And, I mean, they put a beating on them. I think it's funny how I watch all these guys back in New York always talking about the Johnnies, right? They're constantly doing it on our network, too, and on The Fan. They're just constantly talking about the Johnnies, how they're just, you know, well, they're a lock. They're in. They're gravy now. Take it easy. Rest up. You're in. It's nothing to worry about. We're all good here. Everything's good. Everything's under control. I just constantly talking about it. Well, rest assured, the St. John's is in. I mean, they're just – what do you think when you see a team get bent over? I mean, bent over and literally have a Peterbilt driven right into their garage. I mean, backed up with the trucker in the seat just giving you the finger as he's backing into your garage. I mean, they got beat so bad today by Marquette. I mean, honestly, I know this sounds crazy, but you don't deserve to be in the tournament.
Right. I don't care if they have 21 wins. You just got worked over. You now have a below 500 record in conference. And guess what? That was on your home court. Don't give me that, oh, it's a neutral site. They play home games at Madison Square Garden. They play just enough that they can still play the tournament there, and it's okay. But they play on that court constantly, and to go get worked like that is just embarrassing.
I mean, I really think it is, because I'm always hearing these guys on the air in our building bragging about how St. John's is this or that. St. John's isn't Jack Shack, okay? They're nothing. Get real here. They are nothing. They have nothing. They are nothing. Shamari Ponds is the only guy even worth mentioning on that whole team. I don't care what anybody says. All the experts and geniuses that we work with and that work around us. I'm sick of hearing it. Your team sucks. They got bent over today so bad it's not even funny. How do you show up? Someone explain that to me. How do you show up for a Big East tournament game in the Garden and you get beat by 86-54? I mean, your girlfriend is so fat. I mean, honestly, 86-54, you are toast.
And you know what? I was watching some of these shows before it, as you know, you have a little break between games, between the sessions at these tournaments, and getting ready for that game. They have all these gambling shows that are starting up that think they're, you know, as good as you, but aren't, because all the guys on that show were saying how, oh, it's definitely St. John's. They beat Marquette twice already. They're on their home court. They know how to beat this team. They're going to win it.
Oh, yeah.
They get worked.
Everybody's an expert. Everybody's a genius. And then you lose 86-54. We'll go through all these games today, and I'll take your calls. 855-212-4227. As I mentioned, later this hour, Rick Carl in Sports Business. Later in the next hour, Errol Spence. And then in midnight hour East, Boom Boom Mancini will join us. It's Pharrell on the Bench. We're live in Arlington at AT&T Stadium for Spence Garcia. Saturday night, live from Arlington on Fox Pay-Per-View, the PBC. We are here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
What a week. Conference tourneys all over the place. PharrellOnTheBench.com is nailing games. It's the same old story. Big games every night. PharrellOnTheBench.com hits them. College rack, tourney games, NBA, NHL, boxing, MMA. Sign up today. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world put their perfect records on the line. Spence and Garcia this Saturday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on Fox Pay-Per-View. Call your cable operator and order the fight now. All right, let's go to Matt in Atlanta. You're on CBS Sports Radio. You're going to have to pull it up, Carver High. There you go.
Hey.
Yeah, you're on. What's up?
The Cleveland Browns depth chart. And I think they're going to be something serious this year. With Baker Mayfield, they have the two best wide receivers in the league. And I'm telling you, it's going to go back to the days of the 80s. When they're going to start winning, and AFC is not going to be with the Steelers. I'm tired of hearing about the Steelers.
I'm sure you are, Matt, because they've won six Super Bowls. How many you got? How many got in Cleveland with all your – and what is this 80s you're talking about? What did they do in the 80s besides lose? Well, I mean, let's get real. Let's talk about the reality of who they are. I guess honestly, like, let me ask you, what winning have you ever done?
Well,
ever.
Close with you know, with the Broncos and everything. It's pretty close.
And you lost that game too, bro. I mean, shut up. Stop. Just stop. This is the – what is this now? 3 days in a row I've listened to this? All right. Now, look. I will give you that they've got on paper, I mean, the greatest team ever. Have they? I mean, literally, Carver High, on paper, they may be the greatest franchise in the history of the world on paper. You know, on sports talk radio, on, you know, ESPN. I mean, they are selling that. I'm surprised they haven't set up shop there like they do with, you know, the Lakers. You know how they send all their reporters out there to live in L.A. so they can cover that crappy team? I'm sure everybody's moving to Cleveland now to cover the Browns with their illustrious history. Let's stop with all this nonsense. They've never won Jack Shack ever. Nothing. Ever. Ever. So all this talk about them winning Super Bowls and everything else, I couldn't agree with you more, Carver High. Last night you said it best. Make the playoffs, for Christ's sakes. How about just for once make the playoffs? Just make a playoff game, a wild card, anything. Like this talk of these fans there, you have got to be on crack to sit here and try to sell me that they're going to win a bunch of Super Bowls. B, they've never, I mean, they, you know what they consider a great day? Tying the Steelers. That was a celebration last year, right, when you tied them 21-all in the pouring rain. That was the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And then you win 7 games. Congratulations. Carver High, can you believe that for 3 days, this is what I'm hearing, every caller, the Cleveland Browns are winning the Super Bowl? I mean, I'm honestly, I should do stand-up. I should do stand-up comedy.
I am kind of surprised by it. I thought that, like I said last night, I thought it was just going to be a couple of drunks that were calling up and they were happy about the team. But honestly, it has been a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. And like I said, just why don't you focus on winning, you know, 9, 10, 11 games, making the playoffs, something that you never do. Instead of just putting the line all the way out there to the Super Bowl, why not put the line at something that I think is very attainable? Making the playoffs for the first time in a long time. Maybe winning a game. That's what the goals should be this year.
Now, you know what this sounds like?
What?
This sounds like what we criticize Boston fans for, where like everything's going to go perfect. It's all going to be awesome. Everyone's going to win a title. The problem is, Cleveland is where Boston was 20 years ago, where they haven't won a damn thing, and it's been so long since they won. And I mean, Boston at least had won more recently than Cleveland ever has.
Right.
But that back then, those fans were like the lovable losers, and you felt bad for them. And then when they started winning title after title after title, they got arrogant.
Then you hate them.
The Browns fans are jumping right to the "we've won 7 titles" point. Now we're going to be arrogant, and they haven't even gotten to the playoffs. And the guys
they've never won a title.
The two best guys, you know, two best receivers in the game. I'm sorry, are you forgetting about Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
Are you forgetting about Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green? Like, maybe you Odell Beckham's in that mix of those guys, one of the top five. But Jarvis Landry's good. He's not top two.
Listen, Beckham is a great talent. I'll give you that. He's got all the talent in the world. And he's more of a freak show, sideshow, drama queen than anyone in the league. I mean, he has been an absolute nightmare. Let me tell you why they got rid of him. Because he's a pain in the ass. That's why they got rid of him. Don't believe all this other stuff that Gettleman's trying to sell the public that, you know, this was all part of our plan. They had no plan. The plan is this. The plan is that they were sick and tired of this guy's nonsense and his just immaturity and absolute – he's a destructive force is what he is. He thinks that it's all about him. Everybody else sucks. Give me the ball. I'm the star, and I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to take a leak in the end zone. I'm going to get married to a kicking net. I'm going to get in fist fights on the 50-yard line. This guy has been nothing but trouble since the day he came in the league. That's all there is to it. That's why they got rid of him. He's not the best at anything, okay, except being a pain in the ass. I don't think he's as much of a pain in the ass as Antonio Brown. I'll give you that. but he's right there living in the same cul-de-sac with him. I still think Antonio Brown has the key to the city when it comes to being a pain in the ass. And him trying to sell the world that, you know, he's all about focus and being a good person.
He's a form now. He's born again.
Born again. And he's wants to be a great teammate, a leader, and a winner, and good in the community, and all this other BS. That is the biggest load of crap ever because, like I said, 1,000 times, this guy tore down that team every chance he got. He said bad things about everyone, the owner, the coach, the coaches, the teammates, the quarterback. I mean, the only person he didn't rip was the fans. That was it. He ripped everyone else to shreds. He couldn't stand anyone. So I don't want to hear it about Brown or you know, I know he's a mega talent, and I think he's a great receiver, and I think Beckham's a great receiver. But I agree with Mafia. I do not believe he's the best receiver in the NFL because he has never grown up. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't act like a professional. He acts like a little punk ass from LSU is what he acts like, an immature little baby who got paid $98 million, and that's what did it to him. It ruined him. His head's so big. His head's as big as this football stadium I'm sitting in. And then the other one, Jarvis Landry, you said he's the best in the NFL? Ha! Please, stop. Just stop. Stop yourself. You need to just go smoke a fatty or something. You don't know what you're talking about. Just stop. And they've never won anything, ever. So I don't want to hear it. I really don't. And I think that they have the makings of something special brewing, right? Fair enough? They have something brewing for sure. And it's a positive situation in Cleveland for the first time in a long time. I think they have something to be excited about or to be, you know, there are goals that are attainable. But I think from a team perspective, I believe that the franchise realizes they have a long way to go and a lot of work to do in the film room and on the field and in games and in situations. I mean, they literally haven't been in, like, you know, big games, playoff games, and, you know, anything that mattered in a long time. So to have fans almost drunk with expectations that I've been listening to for 3 days that you're all going to win the Super Bowl literally every call I've gotten in the last 3 days, the Browns are winning the Super Bowl. And you people are insane. You're absolutely insane. Like, I mean, right now, I'm hard-pressed to believe they could even win a playoff game, a wild card game. I mean it. Now, I am with you. I think Baker Mayfield's awesome. I think Beckham and Landry are really good. And you got to remember, Landry's had his fair share of problems, too, with teams that didn't want to put up with his painful ass. I mean, it's that simple. At some time or another, you just have to admit what you're getting. You're getting other people's trash. It's that simple. They couldn't deal with him anymore. He's so painful, they had to give. How do you give a guy $100 million and a year later you give up on him? You know how that happens? It's because you're such a pain in the ass and you're such a malcontent and you're so immature that they at one point sit in a meeting in a boardroom and they say, he's just so irresponsible and he's such a goof off and such a tool that what we're going to do is we're going to trade him. We're going to get rid of him. They just gave him $100 million and they got rid of him a year later because he's just so painful. It's not worth having him. When are you going to realize that? You're getting a nightmare on your hands. And the minute things don't go well in Cleveland, that nightmare is coming out like a weather system. It's going to blow right through Cleveland like nobody's business. And let me tell you something. You better relax on all this winning Super Bowl stuff. You never won anything in your life, ever. How about the guy telling me about the Denver game? You lost that game too, you moron. God bless you, though. I love you. Twice they lost.
A fumble and the drive.
The fumble and the drive, and this guy's bragging about the Denver games. You lost both of them. I mean, honestly, you got to – honestly, listen, bro, take your girlfriend out to dinner. Be nice to people. I love you, but I don't. I don't love you. I got to be honest. Let's go back for an update with Jay Berman.
This is Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, back in AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, outside of Dallas – for the Spence Garcia fight. Rick Carlisle, our sports business insider and legal provocateur from Harvard on the bench on CBS Sports Radio. Rick, I got to ask you a question first. Obviously, you've been here to this Cowboys Jerry's world. And I know you're probably going to say Mercedes-Benz, but have you ever seen anything like this Shangri-La that I'm sitting in? I've never seen anything like this stadium. It is the craziest thing I've ever been in my life.
No, I'm not going to say Mercedes-Benz nor Minneapolis. I'm going to say Dallas. You know, 13 levels. How about the art? How about the different concessions? It's an incredible stadium. I think it's much better than any of the other stadiums that I've seen, and it set the standard for everybody else to improve on. It's by far the best.
Have you ever seen anything like how they plop this thing down right here, and then I look over like about a couple blocks away, they got this Arlington ballpark that they're, I guess, going to tear down because they're building a brand new one. Like, they must be have money growing on trees around here, because there's not only that, there's a Six Flags, there's a water park and an amusement park, and it's all within a mile of each other. It's crazy, this area. I cannot believe that they put this spaceship in the middle of this parking lot here.
Yeah, and don't forget, the city funded a bowling tournament center they've got there for big bowling tournaments, and they've got a 5,000-seat e-sport facility where, you know, they've outgrown the size of it, because e-sport, as you know, is picking up a lot more than people thought. So the mayor, the Robert Pluck, was the first guy, and now we've got another guy, and they're all committed to using sports as economic development. So money doesn't grow on trees. They just know how to use it.
How come you go to, and I mean this, every sporting event in the world, but you've never gone to a big, huge prize fight with me?
Well, because you haven't invited me. So sometime this year, I'd really like to go. It would be fun, because you could explain stuff to me, you know, how one guy's better than the other. Because basically.
Listen, the bottom line is I have the juice to get you into these fights.
That's the bottom line. I could have said it a different way. You have the juice.
Well, I mean, we have, front row seats to all the biggest fights in the world, and I've been doing it for 30 years, and it's amazing to me how I've seen you go to every sporting event known to man. I mean, literally every sporting event known to man, but you never go to fights. Do you not like boxing?
No, I do like boxing, but I haven't had anybody to go with, so when are we going?
All right, I'll make sure that the next time I do a big fight, we'll invite you and include
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely, I'm gone. I'm there.
I like hanging out with you, Harold.
The bucket list. I'm not getting any younger.
All right, let's do the 15 here as I sit in Dallas. As we prepare for Selection Sunday and the annual ritual of filling out the brackets, the business of college basketball is heating up fast. Oh, you mean like that 32-point St. John's loss tonight?
Yeah, heating up fast. And how about Zion Williamson's first half? How about that one?
How about this guy? What is he, nine for nine?
21 points in the first half, but they're only up six. So it's heating up fast. $1 billion, obviously, and about 815 of it is all CBS and Turner, as we know. And the Final Four, which I will be at, is in Minneapolis. And after that, they go to the old reliables. They go to Indianapolis. They go to Mercedes-Benz. Phoenix. They'll go back to Dallas. So all the big domes, it used to be you go to 20,000-25,000 seat stadiums, not anymore. The whole issue of pay-per-play and all of that, we can talk about it, but college basketball obviously controls March.
So wait, where are the next several Final Fours again?
So this one is Minneapolis, then Mercedes-Benz, then Lucas Oil, then Atlanta, then New Orleans, then Houston, then Phoenix.
And then you mentioned Dallas. They're going to have it here?
Dallas will be eventually. They haven't officially made it, but they'll be back in the rotation.
How much do March Madness team sponsors pony up to outfit these teams?
Much. I mean, they spend a lot of money on it. For example, $160 million to $200 million is the amount that college programs will fund the March Madness teams over a 10-year period. Between Adidas and Under Armour and Nike, Nike controls, Adidas is second, and Under Armour is still trying to get in the game.
Rick, what did a judge do last Friday, a U.S. District Judge, Claudia Wilkin? What did she do to pave the way for possible payment of players in college football and basketball?
They've still got to make the ruling. Everybody's jumping to saying how important this is. But she basically said she narrowly limited the benefits to expenses related to education in the federal antitrust suit. So when you get damages they'll talk about a hard cap on compensation, and it seemed likely that the players will get some money, but they're not going to get as much money as they thought. Once the ruling happens, then you can figure out all the governance about how to pay for play, basically. Everybody's waiting for this ruling.
How about the NASCAR people taking the award ceremony out of Vegas and moving it to Smashville?
Hey, Smashville's doing pretty well, right? So we know that the end of April, beginning of May, we've got the draft there. We've had the All-Star game there. The Country Music Awards are there every year. It's a great town. Don't you think Nashville's a great town?
I thought it was great in the Stanley Cup Finals when the Penguins bent him over and spanked him and called him Charlie.
Yeah, but look, there's a lot more to Nashville
isn't.
Than seeing your Penguins win. I mean,
no, there isn't.
Expand your horizons.
I got a horizon for you. I got a slow moon rising.
I don't want that visual.
The NBA has got a great social media presence, but viewership in the 18 to 34 demo is down 11% season to date and almost down 50% since 2010. That number is staggering.
Staggering, but you understand it. It's not that people don't like the NBA. Adam Silver has it right. He says the next generation of fans, this generation, has to understand that we got to condition them to believe, and he said this, that 8 p.m. Tuesday is 8 p.m. Tuesday, because everybody wants their games in little snackable bites. They want pieces of the game. And one of the big issues is going to be, how do you rate people who watch the game when they want to watch it, either as a 10-minute kind of summary or, you know, they get the highlights of it on video. So the youngsters or the millennials are not watching the full games, but they're still interested in the NBA.
Reaching any significant deal about the baseball plans, what is this All-Star Election Day about?
Yeah, they're going to have votes where fans can vote for the top three, but then on one day, every fan electronically is going to get together and determine the starters. So the starters used to be determined by collective vote, but now it's going to be one day. And then they're going to try to play around with some things with the All-Star game. They're thinking about extra innings, starting a runner on second, which minor leaguers do now. I think the minor leagues do now. I think it's kind of really cool. And then they're going to change the rules around in 2 years for more roster spots, less September roster spots, maybe starting the guy on second base. Pitchers can come in, but they have to pitch to three batters. So they're thinking about a lot of different experiments to try to make the game more relevant.
In Portuguese, that means they're trying to ruin the game. The Cubs
depends.
Yeah, well,
one guy's ruining is another guy's tinkering.
Well, I actually think that tinkering and meddling is painful. There's nothing wrong with baseball. The Cubs are launching. They've been saying this stuff since I've been alive, that they're going to change baseball. Baseball's still baseball. There's nothing wrong with it. The Cubs are launching a YouTube channel, and they're getting their own network as well.
Yeah, the YouTube channel are just you know, experimenting with different kind of stuff before the marquee network starts in earnest in 2 years. So all Cubs, all the time. I still love to go back to Jack Brickhouse and Harry Caray and WGN, but we're way, way beyond that.
I mean, they just don't make them like that anymore, Rick.
No, I know. You know, and you're a purist. You've already established that. And we're never going to see a guy like Jack Brickhouse or Harry Caray again because they're too old and nobody's going to like them. Meanwhile, you and I are absolutely right. Maybe we're old souls, but I would love to sit down and watch. I don't care how, you know, a Cub game can take 5 hours, and I'd still love it when he was broadcasting it.
For Steve Stone, this is Harry Caray saying so long, everybody.
Wow,
anyway,
good.
MLS, the growth of the league in the U.S. is huge, right?
Yeah, it's getting even bigger, and the bottom line is that FC Cincinnati started this year. The All-Star game is in Orlando. Got a lot of teams that still want in, even though they've stopped expansion for now. Got some new stadiums going on, like Nashville. So I saw Don Garber at the opening game of the D.C. United folks last week, and he is bullish on the league, and why wouldn't he be?
Power of Sports 5, Clayton Kershaw uses baseball to battle child sex trafficking. I'm glad he's doing that, seriously, because he's not pitching.
I knew that was coming. Yeah, but listen, you got to admire him to try to get his deal focused on life after baseball, even if it's coming pretty quickly. And so he's picked a charity for African orphans, and he's now battling back from injuries and entering his season. He's trying to figure out the off the field work. So you got to wish him well, whether or not he's pitching well.
Yeah, his arm's falling off. Listen, Rick, I will. I'll try to get you a Jerry's World T-shirt. I haven't seen one yet, but I'm gonna try to get you one while I'm here at the fight, and then I'll start talking to my fight people about the next big event. Did they say something today, Mavi, about the next big fight? Who was it?
I didn't hear that.
We don't have the next big fight yet, but I'll get it. Rick, thanks for coming on the bench.
I'm going, man. I'll see you next week.
All right, there he is, Rick Haro, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to take your calls next. Maryland, Boca, Pittsburgh, Ohio, et cetera. You're all getting on a bench. We're live in Arlington, Texas at Jerry's World on a bench.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.